Welcome, everyone, to another edition of Community in Depth. That music means we are continuing our conversations with members of the Hastings Ministerial Association, a wonderful organization that strives to make Hastings a better place. And we are going to chat it up today with Pastor Joel Rova Hegener. He is with Our Savior's Evangelical Lutheran Church in Hastings, and they have a big celebration that they have been celebrating for almost a year, 150 years. So anyway, I'm going to get to all this, but I just want to say hello. Nice to see you.
Well, it's great to be here.
Thank you. So the last time we just chatted, it was over the phone, but because you looked so familiar, I might have been stalking you online. Because of that, I thought that we had met in person, but COVID was a crazy time, and I know it was for a lot of churches, but gosh, for you, you said you just started, and then COVID hit. So. Yeah. What an unfortunate thing if you're trying to get to know your congregation. And was that pretty hard?
Oh, yeah. So I arrived, and 5.5 months after I started at Our Savior's, COVID hit. And, you know, in the blink of an eye, everything changed. And we started an online service right away. And so people have been watching me preach and help lead worship for months, and then they would be getting to know me, but I wouldn't be getting to know them. Conversations on the phone and Zoom meetings and Bible studies, but that was about it.
So that, of course, was something that nobody could predict, but was it something that maybe there are some things that have come out of this that you're going to continue or you have continued?
Definitely. Yeah, so we've continued our online service, and it plays on YouTube, is attached to our website, and that has been a great benefit, and I think an expansion of our ministry. We've been blessed with a great photographer, videographer, and editor, as well as musician with Seth Dewan, my predecessor's son, and he just led us to where we needed to go, and so he's been a real blessing, as has the service to those who are shut in, aren't able to make it still, as well as people around the country and even the world. We get emails from all over thanking us for it. So that's been a great boon for us.
I've noticed this with other people before, but I want to bring it up with you. The fact that this seems so simple, that we would have been doing this already, helping people that are shut-ins or broadcasting the great news worldwide. Isn't it weird that it took a pandemic for us to think of that?
Yeah, and we were broadcasting on this station here.
Yes, on the radio
and
station.
And we would put sermons in that online, but all of the everything that goes into making a quality online, we hadn't quite achieved yet. Because there's, you know, not only the recording of it, but all of the editing. You know, hours of editing that goes into a 35-minute service. So now that we're doing it, we're able to keep it up, but it... There were some growing pains, and of course, we're continually trying to improve it and have been able to put a lot of good music out on the web through our website as well. But yeah, it's sad that it did take the pandemic, but now we're there.
Absolutely. Well, I'm really happy to hear about your 150-year anniversary. That's really an accomplishment for any church, but I think when you think about 150 years, how many generations is that?
Oh, yeah.
Is it generation 20 years, maybe?
Yeah, 15 or 20. I've heard both.
Okay. So, I mean, that's a lot of generations that have, you know, started this wonderful church and continued to nurture it and have it grow. It really is a special place, isn't it?
Oh, it is. It is. And it's, I arrived year and a half before this started, and we were talking about celebrating our 150th before COVID hit, and then it kind of stalled out for a while, and then we pulled ourselves together, and throughout this year have been celebrating and had our big celebration on September 19th, which is a little bit over half a year after the actual date. The date of incorporation was March 12th, 1871, and kind of funny because my birthday is March 12th. So that's how I can remember that date. Otherwise, I probably wouldn't have.
That's pretty cool, though.
Yeah, so I'm 99 years younger than the church.
Well, I'm really excited about the fact that you brought some history, because I think that's what's so fun. Hastings is a town that's rich with history, and certainly the faith community has always been a big part of the city, even before we were a state, even before we were a town.
Yeah. Yeah, and you know, 1871 is just 6 years after the end of the Civil War.
I mean, isn't that hard to believe?
Yeah, once you start thinking of it that way, or 13 years after statehood. So it's been around a while, and it was started by a group of immigrant Swedes. You know, most churches back in, well, even some today, you know, were started by groups of immigrants who wanted to worship. And they worshiped in Swedish for decades.
I didn't know this.
Yeah. Many immigrant churches worshipped in their own language for decades.
So the Evangelical Lutheran Church, was that part of this all along? Or when the church was started, was it just known as the Lutheran Church?
Well, its official name, when it had its charter, and it started with 33 members, it was named the Swedish Evangelical Lutheran Church of Hastings. Decades later, they renamed it First Lutheran, although they never officially renamed it, because then decades after that, they were saying we really need to rename it again, and they realized that it was still officially in the state of Minnesota named the Swedish Evangelical Lutheran Church. And they said, well, we can't be tied to Swedes anymore. We have many people worshiping with us, and we're worshiping in English. So that's when they changed it to Our Savior's Evangelical Lutheran Church.
And when was that?
That was in 1948.
So kind of recent. I mean,
yeah, 73 years ago?
Wow.
So for almost
half of the life, it was known as the Swedish Church,
yeah.
Even though they stopped speaking Swedish.
Yeah. But they didn't stop speaking Swedish until 1927. In 1927, they had their first annual meeting, which was held in English, and the minutes were recorded in English. And shortly afterward, they changed the name to First Lutheran, and then officially changed it 21 years later to Our Savior's. But this is common. I've had previous churches I've served that almost split because the older generation wanted to continue in Swedish or Finnish or Norwegian, and the younger people wanted to switch over to English. And obviously, the English speakers, you know, won out, and it still happens to this day with churches being planted by immigrants. And
so as you look to things to celebrate for your anniversary, what were some of the things that you brought to the forefront, brought to some of your current congregation to rejoice in?
Well, I think just the continued decades of ministry. I mean, really, that's what the church is about, right? It's worship and ministry. And so all of those years of, you know, sticking it out, there were some hard times in the first 50 years where their church almost closed.
So that would have been up until the kind of past the turn of the century.
Yeah. And even into the 20s, there were some moments where maybe it had to do with them continuing to worship in Swedish. I mean, it's hard to grow if you're worshiping in Swedish and there aren't any new Swedes coming in.
Right.
And, you know, a lot of the Swedes came in the late 1800s. So, and they were supported by other Lutheran churches in the area for much of their early life.
So who else was in the area, do you know, at the time?
You mean amongst the Lutherans and that? Well, churches up in St. Paul, Minneapolis, they would be giving to mission support, it was called, and the money would be given to Our Savior's. In fact, Our Savior's didn't have a fully called pastor until the early 20s. They were using pastors from other churches would come and preach or baptize. Seminary students would take the railroad down to hold service. It took a while to have enough money to be able to support a full-time pastor. But then when that finally happened and they did switch to English, it took off.
So how long has it been at its current space? Is that where the original church was built?
So the original church is on 9th Street, I believe. It's now a house, and it has been for a number of years. And they called it the old white church, although now I believe it's green. And they were in that old white wooden church up until the early 53, the cornerstone was laid at our present site. And then the dedication services were held in November of 54. So for 70... Boy, my math is failing me. 75 years.
I'm impressed by your math.
75 years, they were in the old wooden church. They moved to the present site with the first church there in 54. And within 30 years, the congregation had outgrown that new church. They were bursting at the seams. And I'm trying to find this in my notes here. They had over 500 kids involved in education. They were sticking them in the pastor's office, in the kitchen, every nook and cranny they could to hold Sunday school. And this was under Pastor Baxell. He noted that it's now time to expand. So this was in the mid to late 70s, and it took a while. It wasn't until Pastor Bill Strum came in the 80s that the actual building of the church happened. And that on July 12th, 1987, two services of celebration were held to dedicate the new church facilities. They tore down the old sanctuary and kept part of the old education building, built a new sanctuary, added onto that with offices and a basement. And during that time,
Upstairs, too.
And then they were worshiping at the high school for about a year and a half, 2 years every Sunday.
Well, those are all names that would be familiar to many of our listeners. Reverend Baxell, he was an institution in Hastings for a long time.
Yeah, and then Bill Strum followed him soon after.
Exactly.
And then Pastor Lloyd Mankey, who's my senior pastor. The three of them have led the church for...
quite longevity, yes.
Decades upon decades.
Wow. So when you think about coming to a church with such history, you mentioned before we went on the air, you're kind of a history buff. This must be really special for you.
Oh, yeah. It's always fun to dig in, find the stories. Like one little story I noticed as I was going through what was written up was... back in, I think it said 1947, the minutes noted instruction to the sexton, who's the person who took care of the building, to buy a block of ice to place in front of the fan each Sunday in the summer. You know, we just flip a switch and you got the, well, now you use your phone and you turn on the air conditioning, but, you know, they had to note, please buy a block of ice, put it in front of the fan.
Isn't that cute?
Yeah. I mean, it's, you know, churches are just organizations made up of humans. So you've got all the interesting things that come along with a group of humans doing anything together.
So when you talk about the history of the church, do you think that they've stayed true to the mission that they started, the 33 families or 33 people all those years ago?
I would think so, and actually probably have expanded upon that. I think early on it was, you know, here we are in a new land. Most of those first charter members were probably Swedish immigrants who came over and wanted to worship, and they didn't speak English well enough. Like every immigrant generation, they show up with their own language, and they want to worship in that because that's the most, you know, intimate thing you can do, and you want to do that in your own language, and have expanded. You know, now we really, you know, we aren't simply centered upon worship, although that is the main thing we do every week, but ministry out into the community, the nation, and the world. Part of our mission is to be the heart, hands, and feet of Christ. I also like to add voice in there. And one of the things that brought me to our Saviors was just the emphasis upon ministry into the community.
Their social justice program and outreach, I think, is wonderful.
Oh, yeah. We're involved in supporting Hastings Family Services and numerous ways, both as an organization as well as many of our members volunteer there, supporting Lewis House.
You had your meals
services.
Program.
Yep. We've got food with friends twice a month now.
Your
food
summer
for kids.
Programs, yep.
Where we're packing bags to give to put into the backpacks of kids every Friday, serving a meal every Wednesday night. We're back to that now over the last few weeks. Anybody's invited. And then we have a short WOW service, worship on Wednesday, packed with youth coming for our confirmation program, God and Life and Jesus and Me, which is our Sunday school, our church school, because it also happens on Wednesday night. Can't say Sunday school. Yeah, we're supporting the Veterans Home and just trying to, wherever we see a need and we can step in and help support it, that's what we try to do.
So are there any members of the 33 people that started your church, any members can trace their roots back there, do you know?
That's a really good question. I can't answer that.
I think somebody might have told you if they could.
Yeah, I'm sure someone would have come up and said, yeah, it's my great-great-grandma. But you can imagine that there must be.
Yeah.
I was honored to be able to lead the funeral service for Joyce Hoffman a week ago. And I heard that, you know, she had worshiped in all three buildings over the course of her life. So just in her life here in Hastings, you know, she was here for well over, you know, about 2/3 of the life of our Saviors. And what a neat thing.
You know, what a beautiful way of saying it too.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, we wish you 150 more great years.
Thank you.
And if people want to come to any worship services, can you give us the schedule?
Yeah. So presently, we've got worship service Saturday at 5:30. On Sunday, it's 8, 9:15, and 10:30. And then our WOW service is at 7 o'clock on Wednesdays. And then, of course, you can join us anytime at www.osel.org. And you could worship for hours there, because we've got all of our services archived, and there's a new one that's put online every Sunday morning.
And we're sure happy to be able to listen on the radio also.
Exactly.
So thank you for that. Pastor Joel Rova Hegener, he is the associate at Our Savior's Evangelical Lutheran Church in Hastings. And if you see one of our Lutheran friends out and about, wish them happy 150th anniversary. And you are listening to another edition of Community in Depth on AM 1460 and FM 97.7 KDWA in Hastings.